I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 4, Episode 2. We're back!
We are.
This start and stop stuff, you know, I feel like a park and drive. One of those, yeah, what do they call those guys in NASCARs?
Yeah, start and park, right? Yeah, or gas fillers.
Yeah, yeah, field fillers. I feel like a field filler right now in the world of racing podcasts until the season starts.
Well, we get a provisional, right?
Good, we'll get to that. All right, tonight's episode, since it's number 2.
Oh, wait, is it the 2012 Brad Keselowski championship winning Dodge Charger episode?
If only, Nate. It's actually the 1981 March BMW M1C IMSA chassis driven by David Hobbs and Mark Soar.
Very nice.
First of the GTB cars.
Okay,
when IMSA started, when IMSA had GTX and GT, so the other car that was really popular at this time was the Lola T600, as that took on the Porsche 935s and such. Anyways, back in the day, back in the good old days of IMSA. All right, so in tonight's episode, we'll talk Fox Sports IndyCar announcing team. We'll talk Daytona 500 entry list controversy. And we'll have a quick look ahead to the IMSA Roy this weekend. Very exciting. IMSA. Is there any races this weekend? Is the
VP Challenge.
VP Challenge, is that this weekend?
Yep.
Excellent. Yep, all right. Looking forward to that.
They got 2 races this weekend.
That'll be fun.
They do?
Yes.
They're like 45 minutes each, right?
Yeah.
It's got the LMP3 cars in it, right?
Yep, LMP3, GT3, and GT4.
Excellent. Love it. All right, good stuff there. All right, so let's start with the IndyCar announcement. Since it was Indy Press Week, and on the heels of the Prema team having their launch, which I watched. Pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it was pretty cool to see.
You guys watch it. It was cool.
I just saw the pictures. I saw the pictures. I couldn't say I wasn't really too surprised at the color scheme or the layout of how they were going to go. I thought it was going to pretty much just be exactly a transformation of the F2 car on the IndyCar.
There you go.
Right.
I do enjoy all the memes of...
Yeah, but I'm kind of looking...
Francesco from Cars 2.
That's the best part.
I think those are the good ones.
That's the best part.
Another thing with Prema that is doing something different than traditional IndyCar teams, they have a reserve driver. It's not all that often that you see a reserve
driver. Fantastic point, Nate.
In IndyCar. And guess who the reserve driver is? It's Romain Grosjean, who was in IndyCar last year, full time. You know, until the end of IndyCar season.
Do you think they would go kind of nuts if their season starts off decently that they might enter a third car, try and enter a car for Indy, or is that closed? So are the entries closed for the 500?
I can't imagine it's closed. Because Catherine Legge hasn't put anything up
there. Right. That's right. There's still one car left at Dale Coyne.
Right. And then the rumored fourth entry at Ganassi.
Let's get to that in a second. But Well, let's get that out in a minute. But the Prima thing kind of kicked this off because the host of the Prima thing was the long rumored new play-by-play guy for Fox, one Will Buxton, who apparently is trading in F1 for IndyCar. Now, what do you guys think of that?
Which, it's fine. It's cool. I just wonder, what is he finding in IndyCar that's making him jump ship from F1?
Good point.
Is it
play-by-play aspect?
Probably. I mean, is it play-by-play? Is it that there is a growing sport more so than
or the NASCAR other thing or is, F1? Is it, and the fact is, I mean, Will has a young child, so I'm wondering if maybe the grind of the F1 thing has starting to take its toll, you know? And this is, right. You know, maybe he's getting the same money to do this, even though he'll be in the States, but, you know. And he's not a stranger to the IndyCar paddock, so, I mean, just so people know. He did do some spot stuff when he was at NBC and stuff like that, I thought originally when I heard his name, I thought he was going to be kind of the host of the whole show because it sounds like, you know, Fox likes to do things a little bit bigger. They have the, you know, NASCAR pre-race show and post-race show. I thought Will was going to be kind of that plus the in-race host, you know, and that maybe dabble in the pit lane, which he's done in F1.
Right. Which, you know, I would not have been surprised. That would have been.
No, would have been pretty good because I do like the excitement he brings to the pit lane.
For sure, he definitely
has it. Although, as Christian would say, he is no Davide Valsecchi.
Nobody can replace Davide. He is exactly what F1 needs, and he
imagine if they what if they brought him? What if they brought him to IndyCar? People's heads would explode. I would love it.
It would, but like there's always a ton of chaos, anyways. But I think Davide is perfect in F1 because he can make some of the boring races sound the most exciting ones.
Oh my god. Hold on. I'm just a side note here. I'm watching the Chili Bowl on Flow Racing, night 2. And Nate, you're not gonna believe this. They have a two seater midget.
Oh come on.
No, I'm dead serious.
Who's in it?
I don't know, but it's friggin' awesome looking.
Can you imagine if they have like a fan in there and it's like one of those fan rides? That's crazy. Oh my gosh.
It looks like it might be. I just took some pictures. I'll send them to you guys after the show. This is hilarious. First time I've ever seen this. I didn't even see it last night. So the guy up front's driving and the person in the back is like holding onto a wheel. This is fabulous.
Are they actually like sliding around?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing. Oh, that's so amazing. It's
the thing is, the car looks about the size of a sprint car because of the length.
Okay.
But the driver is so far forward. He's got to be right on the engine. Holy hell. This is pretty cool. All right. Anyways, so yeah, Christian, no, I agree. Christian, you need him in Formula One because he brings the chaos to Formula One.
Yeah. I mean, plus. He's also not afraid to get into the paddock drama either.
He likes that.
If you're gonna stir the pot, like it's fine. It's there. That's what F1 is. Not that like any of that stuff is really true behind the scenes. But I mean, if you're just gonna make a story of it, Who cares?
Right. And I think Nate and I were kind of. I think of the opinion that we were kind of hoping Alan Bassett could be the announcer.
I know.
It's the voice of the Indy 500 right now.
That's what I'm saying. It just made all the more perfect sense for him to be calling this.
I know. Well, I like how.
Just kind of reading some comments. And is he still contracted by ESPN?
No.
Okay.
No.
So that ship has sailed.
Okay.
No, that was actually through the group. That was it. Was it Lingner that was doing the the SRX series?
Yes.
So I think he was through them.
So technically it wasn't even ESPN.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, and but T-Bell's back and Hinch is back. So that's good.
Which I would
agree. So we're just waiting on pit reporters, right?
Right.
That's what we're waiting on.
And I guess I've been seeing everyone trying to, or I've seen people talk about wanting to try and get Kevin Lee for that.
Well, Kevin Lee, I think Dylan Welch,
who ran last night at Chili Bowl, top five finish. He got a top five in the A main last night. So now he's in last night's A main. So now he's in. On Saturday, he's in the B final. So he just has to go B to get to the A final, A main. He just has to transfer from the B. Yeah. So pretty cool.
I'm trying to think of someone else. I mean,
in the pit lane?
Well, no, but think of it this way: like who'd be the host?
Oh, what's her name? Georgia Hanaberry. Remember her?
Why am I forgetting
her last name? You'll recognize her. Yeah, she was good.
Yeah. Okay.
So, like, if they brought those three, that'd be good.
Yeah. Right.
Although I think Kevin Lee's probably going to get. Yeah, I think he's probably going to end up saying, "Oh no, he's not."
What in?
No. NBC because NBC. No. No, I was gonna say I thought he had the full time gig with IMSA. Oh, he might have the full time gig with IMSA because the voice of NASCAR can't do every IMSA race.
Right.
Which I would prefer that he didn't, but
are you talking Lee Diffy?
Yes. The diminutive Lee Diffy.
I can't believe Lee Diffy's gone from like sports cars, IndyCar, and now NASCAR.
Yeah, well, they love them.
They love them.
Anyways, let's move on from that. All right, so I at least there was an advertisement during a football game for an IndyCar race or IndyCar.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Did you like it?
It was.
It
was the one the only that I shared with you guys, right?
Yeah, with Newgarden, right?
Yeah, yeah. Nate, you just put it probably the best that we could have said it. They tried.
They tried.
It was predictable with Newgarden. I was just like, the funniest thing of the whole thing was when it said, "Oh, I wrote a child's book," and then Polo goes, "My kid hated it."
That was pretty funny.
That was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was funny. But like, it was just like, really? Like, could you just done something about what is IndyCar racing? You know?
Yeah. I don't know what that was about, but anyway. I like the hint. Right. I hint with Tom Brady, and now all these rumors are starting to go.
Right. But now, Nate, I'm hearing, and this is from the original source of this, that the Sebastian Bourdais thing isn't really what's happening.
Oh, stop. Come on. No.
Because it's going to be Mr. Provisional from the Daytona 500.
Oh, come on. No. Not that I'm against Ilan Castroneves, but come on. Give Seabass his one last attempt at the Indy 500. My gosh.
Okay. I know.
All right, it is Mr. Ford time. I can understand why.
Well, yeah. So
you're going to deny the drive for five?
I'm not going to deny the drive for five. I just really wanted Sebastian Bourdais in that ride. Because I'm a Sebastian Bourdais fanboy.
It's the French?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. You got
me. Yeah, he's French.
You got me. Yeah, he's French. And
that's
the worst thing I did see. I mean, he's just been snake bit at the Indy 500. Mm-hmm. And it's just, for the amazing driver he is, it's a shame he's never won the Indy 500. But that's just me.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. But we'll see. Well, the year he was going to win it was the year they crashed the car.
In qualifying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he was.
He was looking so strong.
Yeah.
Would have gotten pulled.
So that entry is Tom Brady, Jimmy Johnson with Chip Ganassi Racing.
Right.
It's just a question of whether it's Seabass or Elio.
Well, and it's going to be a Carvana-sponsored car, from what I understand.
Right.
And it'll be a one-off ride. So I could see either or driver actually getting into that ride.
Because isn't Larson's back, right?
Larson's coming back, yeah.
Yeah, with McLaren.
Yeah, okay.
But now, do I ask the question, wouldn't Ilya Krasnyevskiy be a part of Shank, like a third car? I mean, that'd be my guess.
That's what I was wondering. I don't know. But anyways, the guy that put this out there and then kind of backtracked today and said, maybe it's Elio. I'm like, oh, Jesus, dude. I kind of like the Seabass thing.
I do, too. That'd be my pick for the ride.
Yeah.
Assuming Elio would be the one going to a possible Meyer Shank third car entry.
Since he's part owner of Meyer Shank now.
Well, that's my point. I mean,
right. Part no, owner, I, yeah, 100%
drive for
agree.
The team, win an Indy 500, and then
yeah.
go to Ganassi for yeah. one race.
Right.
I don't know. To me, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. All right. Other IndyCar news this week. We have one seat at Dale Coyne filled.
Yes, Jacob Abel.
Jacob Abel. So, former Indy NXT driver.
Won a few races last year.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's one more.
One seat left at Coyne.
At Coyne.
And then
interesting to see.
RHR is back in the paddock. Not RHR. He is back. He's back in Daytona with Dreyer Rembo. I meant Ryan Briscoe.
Yeah, because what is he doing with Premo?
He's like that role Tony Kanaan had with McLaren last year.
Oh, like ambassador or something?
No. He's the driver guy. So it's kind of like what Dario does with...
Driver coach?
Yeah. Yeah.
Something like that? Yeah.
Yeah, well, okay. Whatever. Driver advisor, whatever. Anyways.
No, that's pretty cool.
All right. That is cool. Good to see pictures of the Lamborghini in full.
In the Italian season. Flag.
Yeah. Well, looks sexy. It
does look nice.
Is Bill Riley going to wear like a Chef Boyardee outfit in the pit lane?
Yeah, right. Chef Boyardee outfit. Come on. Oh. Oh my God. With a bowl of like raviolis.
Awesome. Yeah. He's got a big pot. He's stirring. You know, be kind of cool. Yeah. All right. Meyer Shank released their liveries, predominantly white cars.
For Daytona.
Yeah, but I think it might be for the season too.
Yeah.
And IMSA doesn't really get into the changing colors thing. Like, they don't like the throwbacks, though. Some other IMSA news. Paul Miller Racing going to two cars next year with Neil Verhagen, Nate.
Yeah.
Being paired with Madison Snow and GTD Pro, replacing Brian Sellers, who has moved on to DXDT Racing.
Very, very nice.
FAF unveiled their plaid Lamborghini. Looks very nice. That's going to have a killer lineup. They got a killer lineup in that car. They got, for the season, it's, they got Andrea Caldarelli and Jordan Pepper, who are the two factory guys. And then Hinch is driving as the third driver. And then Marco Mappelli, who's like Mr. Lamborghini in Europe, is joining them too. So that team there, that car could surprise. It's not Cadillac. Hold on, we'll get to Cadillac in a second. Oh, Corvette unleashed their car this year, the new car.
It looks pretty good.
It's in Velocity same, yellow.
It's the same car.
Yeah, I know, but it's the it's yeah, it looks nice though. And the team's got new sneakers for the race. They're sponsored by New Balance. they got those steel tip pitch shoes that I got, Christian. Those things are awesome.
Hey, gotta wear the best.
You gotta wear the best. They're great though. You can't drop anything on your toes. Fantastic.
Now is this like the outfit of the white undershirt, the cut jean shorts, and now New Balance shoes?
No. No, they're actually sporty looking. They're black, like work shoes that you can wear in the pits.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Some other news being thrown around. McLaren in the formative stages of developing a prototype, along with Nate.
Let's hear
Ford, your favorite team.
They're not my favorite team.
Ford. They're your favorite factory.
At one time, yes.
And Christian and I will tell you exactly when they come back, and it'll be a 3-year program, and they'll disappear again, right, Christian?
Oh yeah, and it's really up to them of when they even want to join. So.
And I'm willing to bet it's probably going to be with Ganassi.
Yeah.
If they time it correctly, yeah.
Yeah.
But if they wait too long,
if they
then,
don't,
then
I could,
the door's
going
to close.
Ganassi could be with Hyundai.
No. That I'll tell you what's going to happen with that one. That's going to be a Brian Herta.
Can you possibly tell me when Brian Herta's team last ran prototypes or GT cars?
They're running the Michelin Pilot program.
They're running TCR cars, Nate.
Yeah, okay, but that's still like an option.
That's a huge step up, Nate.
No, I understand that, but that's just right now. That's the foundation of
Hyundai. They're not even running an LMP2 car.
Okay, but they're not even running a GT3 car as well. So
right.
Do you think
Hyundai's
just
would...
gonna jump up like just that way without any?
Yeah, the Genesis, that car.
Yeah.
The one that's being developed right now.
Call me crazy, but I would think Brian Herta may have something to do with teaming up with them and doing that effort.
I'm gonna call you crazy.
Maybe.
All right. What? I've said crazier things before, right?
Maybe we're viewing this McLaren and Ford thing the wrong way. Maybe they're the same program because McLaren needs to find a motor to put in the back of that car.
Oh,
that's a good point.
That's good thinking right there, Sean. See,
yeah, that's outside the box.
So, but this is also bearing the fact that Ford's going to make an engine and put it in the car. And if they do it right, it'll be the same base of what they have in the current Mustang GT3 car. Because you cannot have the Cadillac sounding like how it does, and then the Ford just
sounding like a dead turtle,
yeah,
like a dead frog, like it did before.
Yeah, yeah. You can't do that. Even if Cadillac is definitely just committed and being like, no, if we're not going to win, we're going to at least sound the best. And even IMSA is saying you can all just sound however you like because they've told Aston Martin that you can make your car louder.
There you go. There you go. All right. let's see what else is out there. That covers it for IMSA. For sports car racing, BMW back in WEC, and the Doctor, Valentino Rossi, is back in WEC this year again.
Is he doing the prototype program?
No, he tested the car. He's back in the GT3 car again.
Okay.
So he's going to be paired with Kelvin Vandalinder this year, which is pretty cool. So, be exciting.
I think he'd do great with the prototype. Just 1 year at
Le Mans. I think he will. I think he will. Yep. No, I agree. Cadillac in Europe introduced their livery.
Well, it
looks a lot like Joda. The Porsches from last year with Joda.
Yeah.
It looks exactly like the Porsches, but it does look striking on that car.
It does look nice, especially the nose.
Holy hell. Oh, yeah. It's awesome. It's awesome. Can't wait to see that go. Bang.
Oh, no. It's going to sound nice.
We get the Aston Valkyrie, which they're telling they want them to keep it the V12 as unleashed and loud as hell. I love that.
Yeah. That's going to be really nice.
All right, let's move them.
Just to make sure I have this correct, if I go to Hertz, can I ask for a Cadillac with that motor sound?
You can ask, but they'll laugh at you.
I mean, they advertise this car. Like, I should be able to rent one, right?
Sure.
Just ask, Christian. Just ask.
Yeah, we'll ask.
And when you do ask, I want to be right by your side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One last bit of IndyCar news. I'm kind of excited for this sponsor for St. Pete. Andretti Racing on Kyle Kirkwood's car will be sponsored by Chili's.
Oh, I did hear about this.
It's very good.
Well, and if you want to have an idea of what it might look like, remember Spire, the 7 car, Corey LaJoy.
Only Nate could remember what the Spire team looks like.
They had the Chili's sponsorship, and I think Spire brought that on to Andretti.
Okay.
So
in the IndyCar, right?
Yeah, I'm just you're connecting the Gainsbridge sponsorship from Andretti to Spire. Now Spire is bringing the Chili sponsorship.
There you go.
With Andretti. See that?
So will they take Chili to F1?
Chili and Gainsbridge.
Because Chipotle's on the house.
That's what I mean. That that's a possibility. Yeah.
That'd be exciting. All right. All right. NASCAR news. News broke last week that Nate's favorite IndyCar driver, Helio Castroneves, will be driving for Trackhouse.
I saw him win the Indy 500 one time in person.
Yeah, there you go. But the kicker is with Helio, really doesn't have to qualify.
He doesn't.
No.
Nope, he's basically locked in.
He's locked in because he has a provisional.
Whether it be the 40th or 41st
spot. Well, makes complete sense.
It does not make complete sense. That's just insane. For a rookie?
Right. Well, no, he'll have one stock car
oval
race under his belt. ARCA race.
Good
the ARCA Crash Fest.
Yeah.
What day is that? Is that on Thursday?
No, it's usually the week before.
Oh, is it?
Usually.
Okay.
But things could have changed, which they always change. They always add more rules in NASCAR.
There you go.
All right. Speaking of rules, also, Nate, do you have the list of rules that they've changed?
I was just looking for that. They changed the playoffs this year, Sean. Because
they did away with it.
Well, no. So I think this one circled, I think, more so Kyle Larson than anybody. So if you miss a race on the schedule and you make the playoffs, your playoff points are they obliterate your playoff points before and after. So in other words, say Kyle Larson does the Indy 500 and again doesn't make like come back to race the Coca-Cola 600, right? So if he misses that, any playoff points he has had going into that race and would soon get, he's not eligible to get those points. He won't be getting any playoff points. And playoff points are like stage points, like stage one, stage two, the top 10 are divvied points there.
So Nate, in theory, say Larson misses the Coke 600 just because of logistics, doesn't happen.
Right.
But he wins every single race of the season.
Yep.
He now starts in the playoffs as the worst
lowest seeded driver.
Lowest seed. Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I can see it now. It makes total sense.
That's the Joey Logano rule.
It just makes total sense now. I can just see it before me. Why would any driver want to go anywhere else? NASCAR is the place to be.
I mean, not for Mike Wallace, that's for sure. Right, Sean?
No. You know, I was like, wow, Mike Wallace is coming back. That's cool. And then it's like, today, no Mike Wallace. NASCAR said, nay, nay.
Which is...
But we'll let some, like, 17-year-old kid who's got like no super speedway experience in,
or someone that's not even had any cup starts,
right?
And be the extension of the field,
right? Yeah, and he gets a provisional too.
It's really terrible, because I mean, we were talking before the show came on. Mike Wallace has done, I would say, of the three Wallace boys, has done the best at Super Speedway.
So he's bringing, very good. Yeah, that's where he excelled, actually.
Yeah.
He was probably the best on the Super Speedway.
100%. 100%. Yeah. Has scored a top five in this event in 2007.
And had lined up all the sponsorship for this car. Now it's all gone.
But that's the thing. MBM is not a fully funded team.
Right. So they're sitting out looking like we filed an entry, and can you it's unbelievable.
And you know what the reasoning for this was, Sean?
He's too old.
No, not because he's too old. No, not even that. Not even that. It was because he hasn't been in a car for a certain amount of time.
Well, the reason he hadn't been in the car was because his wife took ill and eventually passed away.
Yeah.
So Mike took time away from the sport.
Great point.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh my God. Anyways, and it wasn't like, you know, he wasn't looking for anything. All he was going to do was, I'm going to come drive and see if I qualify. And if I qualify, I qualify. I mean, they let Travis Pastrana in a race. In one, and I mean, how much experience does Travis have on the ovals? I love Travis. I'm just saying. Not as much experience as Mike Wallace does.
It's a real shame, because I'm sure he's in total shock.
Based on the stuff that he put out there, yeah.
You know, but I'm also curious to see who does fill that spot. or if it happens.
Yeah, some kid with a checkbook from his dad. I mean,
Kurt Busch has been recently cleared to race. He'll be racing in
the Race of Champions with Pastrana.
Right, right.
Is that Kurt or Kyle?
Kurt Busch.
Oh, no, Kurt's not coming back to NASCAR.
Yeah, no.
But, that was crazy. Trying to skip to any other NASCAR news, Nate. Oh, it's big news tomorrow. Junior's got an announcement tomorrow.
Oh, you know what?
Is it Truex? He's going to be in Junior Motorsport car.
For the first race?
Well, he's only doing like one-off race.
See, that's where I kind of started thinking. But I think Tricon Garage, or what's that truck team with the Toyota? I think they were going to field a one-off with Truex.
Oh, okay. Oh, and keep the Toyota thing going?
Right. And so that's what I was kind of looking at.
Did I hear this right? Cole Pern's coming back to crew chief the car?
Yes, Cole Pern is going to be with Martin Truex regardless.
For that reason, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Junior's got some announcement tomorrow. Yeah, it'd be awesome if Junior enters Mike Wallace tomorrow.
Can you imagine it gets the okay from NASCAR? Oh, okay. Yeah,
all of a sudden it's okay.
Yeah, all of a sudden it's okay because it's June. He's
running with Dale, yeah. No, in NASCAR. Junior.
Yeah. Oh, it's okay now. Like, you know.
It's all good now.
Yeah, let alone the Wallace boys have been in NASCAR for decades.
Actually, Dale's going to run three cars. Rusty's coming back. Kenny's coming back. And they're actually going to run four cars. It's going to be the Wallace brothers and Ken Schrader.
Yeah. Yeah, Tim Brown's allowed to do the class.
Imagine if it was Kenny Schrader, who's still racing.
Oh, that'd be so bad.
If it was Kenny Wallace, like, they would have been, oh, yeah, it's fine. And none of them have been on the big tracks since as long as Mike has. They've all been running like dirt modifieds and stuff like that. But anyways, all right. Let's move away from that. That's enough NASCAR talk, Nate.
There's plenty more, of course.
Coming, right?
Coming. Yep.
Okay. All right. All right. Let's go to F1.
I have a couple IMSA and IndyCar notes.
Oh, well. Okay. Go ahead.
The small IndyCar note is McLaren is now the sole owner of their IndyCar teams. Schmidt and Peterson have stepped away from their car, from that.
Correct.
So McLaren now is all in charge there. IMSA, the JDC Porsche has finalized their lineup between Vanaheuvel and Bruni being the drivers for there. And also one of the other rule changes that I saw from IMSA come down was they revised the minimum drive time rule because of how many red flags interrupted races last year and screwed up.
Yeah, that one at Watkins Glen, right?
Yeah, it was Watkins Glen, and I think there was one other race too. Where it was just it was cutting it really close, and it was making it really it sucked for teams at the end of the race of like, all right, you won, nope, psych, you actually didn't. So it basically if there's a race that's impacted by a red flag and it's towards the end, or basically it's to the point where they can't restart and the rule isn't going to be fulfilled, it pretty much just gets rid of it makes the minimum drive time for each driver, like all you have to do is just sit in the car, or it's just thrown out the window completely. Joey Hand is also going to join Gradient Racing in their GTD Mustang for this 24. And
that's right.
The other note that I had is WeatherTech is going to back Trackhouse's Corvette. for the 24.
As a sponsor. I'm shocked. So,
but yeah, that's all that I have. Uh-huh. Did you guys touch on with the Prema stuff that Grosjean is the reserve driver for Prema?
Yes, Nate did.
Yes,
yep, yep. Nate did.
Yep, cool.
Nate did. Oh, and the Proton 963 is back in IMSA for the Endurance Cup.
Nice.
Good stuff. Good stuff there. All right.
On to F1.
So the Proton will be joining the Riley guys for the Endurance Cup races.
Yes. Yes. That was
with the Lambo. So okay. So that'll be good. Yeah, good. That's awesome. All right. F1 news. Franco Colapinto. Welcome to Alpine.
Yeah.
So apparently now news has come out that Dylan. What's his first name?
Jack.
Jack Dylan.
Yeah.
I have to stay away from calling Mick because that's his dad. Jack only has a 6-race deal, and that race deal now is only 5 races because he did the one last year.
Oh, come on.
And does that smell like Briatore all over it? Like, Calapinto, he started off 2 good races, okay? And then for the end of the season, he morphed into Logan Sargeant Part 2. I mean, it was Crash Fest Central.
Yeah. The crazier part of that rumor is I heard Calapinto is signed to like some multi-year deal.
It's 5 years, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was the number. I could not believe that would be the number. That just sounds way too absurd. There's no way that's real.
It's true.
Nate's gonna find out how it works at Red Mist Racing.
Yeah. Yeah, finished second place how many times and I'm still here. Oh man. No, but I'll tell you. Well, think about this, right? I mean, wouldn't for Jack, wouldn't it be a performance clause? Like, does he have to score points?
I don't. They're gonna. You know what? It's 5 races. Then it goes. If he's performing well, then they'll probably extend it.
Gas
is not going anywhere.
The other part of that rumor with the 5 race. Races or limited number of races contract deal was, I guess when they put him in the car at Qatar for a test day, he was like a second off the pace from Gasly.
Gasly, yeah.
So like that, I guess like that's one figure that's been floating around. I mean, again, how true it is, I have no idea. So
my thing is, if he scores, you know, points in those 5 races. Let's just—I don't care what he does. He scores points and doesn't crash a car. I'm like, okay, great. Because if I put Calapinto in and the first race he destroys it, I'm like, this is what this kid is.
Yeah, I mean, not that I want either driver to crash, but if Gasly last year proved that he could run the entire season and not rack up any damage on the car,
right? That's then, the goal for this year. Anybody coming in,
that should be the green light for that driver. You tell that driver, go and get the maximum out of this car, because that job should be on the second driver to do the do some development work, get whatever numbers it is, so that your first driver can extract the maximum pace of the car.
Yep.
And yes, this is with the assumption that you have a true number one and a true number two.
Right.
I mean, reality check, that's the way F1 always is, and the successful teams do manage to make it a point that's how you can resolve any inter-team battle and come out on the other side with a win, even if it does look kind of 50-50 of whatever your deciding point is, that, okay, we're just going to focus on this one driver.
Gotcha.
So.
Yeah. All right. Here's a wild story.
How wild is it?
My crack?
So, no. So, so it, of the two drivers at the time, right? Did you not think that for this is for Alpine. Who did you think at the time was going to be the one that didn't come back? Mid-season.
Esteban Ocon.
No, I was thinking Gasly was going to move on.
Oh, get out of here. Come on. Pierre Gasly was not going to be the guy leaving.
No, I thought he was like, yeah, I thought he was going to be not canned. I just thought he was going to be moving on. All right. So I was kind of shocked that they kept Ocon. I was kind of shocked they cut Ocon. So here, you know how they made the decision on Ocon?
I know where you're going with this. Yeah, it's company car.
So they went to, so when the team, you know, they came for the British GP, right? So Ocon flies in, comes to the factory. So they're at the factory all week, gets a car, right? Car has GPS on it. Ocon decides to go visit a few Formula One teams.
No, sorry, to specify, his seat insert has a
GPS. No. His road car Alpine that he was given.
Oh, the road car Alpine. Okay. I thought it was the seat insert. That's what I read.
They tracked his GPS on his car.
Yeah.
It is a wild way to let go of someone from motorsports. And personally now, I'm hoping there's a racer with Esteban Ocon in it.
I guess they came back. Like, so when he came back from it, you know, after the weekend, they had a sit down, and that's when the decision was made.
That's rough.
That's awesome. I like that.
Gosh. Imagine that conversation in the office.
Oh, dude, that would have been hilarious. But how dumb can you be? Seriously.
I mean, it's out there now, so.
Yeah.
Yep, there you go. There you go. All right, well. Well, the F1 news I got.
Oh, no. Oh. I got one more. And I'm kind of livid about it. So F1 has extended its contract with Spa. So, yay, claps all around. The part I'm not thrilled about this is they're extended for 4 of the next 6 years. Now, how is this going to work, you may ask? All right, well, I guess apparently in 2028 and 2030, those are the 2 years that Spa is going to relinquish its spot on the calendar because F1 has deemed that Spa is one of the tracks that are going to be involved in this rotational calendar spot. Now, I am all for the idea of rotating through tracks on the calendar. However, Spa is one of the most iconic tracks on the calendar and has always produced great racing, especially at the level of F1 with these modern day cars. This is not the track to rotate. And if you tell me that they're going to rotate this with a street course, most likely, this is not it. I mean, if you want to get me away from watching F1, like this is an easy way to do it. Like,
wow.
You're telling me that you're going to take away one of the best races on the calendar?
I agree. 100%.
All right, yeah. I'm there. 100%.
And for the last 10, 15 years, if I'm not correct, has always been either the last race prior to the summer break or the first race back from the summer break.
Yeah.
So it's always had that staple point in the calendar. It's, you know, right in the middle where you can kind of tip going either way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is not the track to do that with. I think there's plenty of other European tracks you could have done this with, but Spa is, it's one of the oldest, and honestly, it's one of the best built circuits that have stood the test of time for classic and modern day F1.
It's one of the most durable.
Yes,
in the sense that the cars that the different races and stuff that run there.
Yeah,
you know, there's a reason.
Yeah,
you know,
it's definitely really disappointing, and I never think Spa was
when 2028 comes around and they haven't, it's not on the calendar for the year, and then everyone goes, oh geez, the season sucked. Yeah, I wonder why.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, we'll find out quick.
Yeah, yeah. I mean they definitely need to convince me otherwise why taking Spa off the schedule for those years is going to be acceptable, but I mean,
yeah.
No, 100%. Until then, we're not starting off on a strong foot.
Yeah. No. Gotcha. It's crazy.
It's really unbelievable.
100%.
I mean, I know Monza has been up there in controversy just because of its funding, and same thing with Silverstone too. I mean, there's some tracks that you have to give the benefit of the doubt just because of the historic stance on it. And as you can't just go charging tracks crazy amounts of money. Like, something's got to sort itself out. And even there was even an interview with is it Doug Bowles, Indy Motor Speedway?
Yeah.
Yeah,
they turned down F1.
Yes, yeah, because the price that they were asking, the price F1 was asking Indy to pay to be a part of the calendar was ridiculous.
Would basically wipe out all the money they make during the year.
Yeah. So it's clearly they're way too above their own pay grade right now. So they need a reality check. And
in all serious, do we need another race in the United States?
No.
There is already two.
If we have three, right? Do we need another race? Do we need a race that's not on the street circuit? Yes. We need two permanent road courses. Yeah. So essentially, just put the money in and make Road America it. All right. That's it. Simple.
Yeah.
You know what? That's
or.
And I'm not putting the onus on the people of Road America to upgrade the track, but you know, if the United States wants to have one, come up with the money, put it into Road America, make it a grade, you know, whatever facility, make it on the par with COTA, so that you can.
It a grade one, but also like maybe revisit your qualifications of what a grade one is. I mean, you also don't want to neuter Road America either. Like that's the last thing you want to do to that place.
100%, 100%.
So. Because you can, if Montreal is still on the calendar, you can have Road America on the calendar.
I would prefer Road America over Miami.
1,000%.
Yeah, no. Right, I agree with that. But if you look at the track and its surroundings, Montreal is very similar to Road America in my eyes, just of the proximity to the barriers, grass that's around the track.
But the thing that Montreal has over Road America is that it's in a major metropolitan area.
Yes, I get that.
Yeah, I get it from in terms of runoff and stuff. But yes, anyways, but it's the pitch facility that Road America doesn't have.
Well, you know, maybe we tell the teams, hey, you got to show up with a pop-up tent this week.
Maybe you got to jump over a wall, too.
Yeah,
you know,
Only one guy per wheel?
Refueling.
Yeah.
Refueling. V10s.
Nah, just V8s is fine. We can do V8s.
Anything else?
No, I think we've gone off on enough rant there at the end. So.
Especially with the NASCAR.
Yeah.
Oh, Nate.
See?
Nate, you're gonna have to phone in.
Well, I know, but think about this too, right? Catherine Legge and Hilo Castroneves are doing ARCA. What reality am I living in? This is crazy.
Oh, that's fine. I have no problem with Catherine doing it. I mean, I don't have any problem with Helio doing it. I just don't like the fact that he gets a provisional.
I 100% agree.
It's not him. I just don't like the fact that the Trackhouse car. I love Trackhouse. I just don't like the fact that they're getting a provisional out of this.
Yeah, Sean, that's your favorite team in NASCAR.
It is. And what is it? They're running. He's running under the what is that? The root? What do they call it? Car 91 or whatever they call it.
Oh, Project 91.
Project 91. They're running under that. I'm all for that. I don't want exemptions for that.
Yeah.
You got to do it on merit, you know?
You got to make it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're making it worse. There's already the charter system, and now they're making it worse by having that extension.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Pretty much.
Side question here. Is Catherine Legge doing the Chili Bowl?
She is.
Is there an update on how she's doing?
No, I think she is in. It's either tomorrow night she runs or Thursday night.
Okay. All right.
So they pulled. The only thing that's missing from this is there's no Rico because Rico hurt his wrist down in Australia, so he's not running this week. Hmm. But, like, Christopher Bell is running. He won last night in the Race of Champions. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm watching Mike Hess just rip through the field. Friggin' hilarious! He got bounced. Oh, he got bounced out in his heat race because the seatbelts came undone. Now he has to qualify to get into the. He's got to qualify his way up tonight. Right now he started 10th, he's in 3rd right now. This is awesome. I love watching this. Can't speak enough about this. Other than spending a week in Tulsa, I don't know if I could do that. Anyways. Alright. So next week we can possibly look towards Daytona 24?
Yes, we will.
We will. All right. And on that note,
good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Red Mist Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.